the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 167 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? This is Ed and welcome to the show. This week, we're going to do our annual year in review. We're going to go back over the big events that happened in 2016 and kind of talk about if they made a big impact or a small impact. Also, we're going to kind of talk about some of those predictions we made last year and see what came to fruit and what didn't, what fell flat. So, for this week's show, we have Lisa with us. Lisa, how you doing?
Great, Ed. How are you?
Awesome. Awesome. Now, Lisa, if you hear a little bit of an anxiousness going on, she's about 3 days away from going to Walt Disney World.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, you'll have to bear with her a little bit on tonight's show. And actually, Jimmy's not here. He is at Walt Disney World. He just showed up about 10 minutes ago. With us, though, this week is Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It's going great, Ed. I can't believe that we have turned the page on yet another year, another calendar. So many things have happened, and yet we look forward to the future. I can't even remember what my predictions were last year. That's okay. I'm sure they all came true because I was spot on for everything. Maybe not.
Well, we'll see as we go along. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to last January and kind of go month by month and just maybe go through like different events that happened and discuss as we hit them. Some will kind of breeze through because they weren't as important. Others, though, were milestones. So we'll have to take a look and see what goes on.
Yeah, and I think we should note there, Ed, that there are, when you really sat back and tracked it and looked at everything that happened, there are only over 200 big announcements that come out for Walt Disney World or Disney in general. It's just amazing to think everything that's changing and the moving pieces and moving parts. It's cool to go back and look at how this stuff has or hasn't impacted.
Oh, no doubt, because for as many announcements and things that actually opened, there's enough things that actually fell flat and didn't open. So it's going to be interesting. One of the big things, and for a lot of us, going to Hollywood Studios, this was always a big thing for us, is seeing the Streetmosphere people that work in Hollywood Studios. All those characters up and down the main streets and the Sunset Boulevard and such like that. Well, last January, they made a big change, and they got rid of at least half of those actors. Did you guys think that was a big impact or not?
I think they'll keep them confined.
Well, here's the thing, though, and I guess as we go by step by step, we're going to kind of compare what happened over the year, because as a matter of, they let a lot of guys go, there's shows all the time now. I mean, there's still a lot of Streetmosphere people, so I think initially that happened, but at this point, I don't think it's that much of an issue. I think they're all over the place still.
There's less of them, meaning it's changed today in January of 2017 versus 16. There's less of them, and they're more on Sunset Boulevard, less so much in what used to be the hub, or right around the hat, which is
right. And that's what I mean by confined. I think they'll keep them all to that one location, a little bit on Hollywood Boulevard and more on Sunset Boulevard.
And I'm okay with that.
Well, that's a Star Wars thing. They can't get in the way of the marching.
Potentially, but at the same time, they're themed very well down Sunset Boulevard because you keep that theming. I mean, I think things are still going to change when it comes to Streetmosphere. When you look at January in general of 2016, so much changed at studios because this is when we were getting all of the announcements that talked about things that were closing, things that were going away. It was really a time that it was a little sad to watch what was happening in studios. But we all knew that we'll see what comes next, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And actually, if you think about it, when the Streetmosphere characters started going away, Star Wars characters started appearing walking around. So in a way, it's kind of like you have the same amount of characters walking the park. You're just changing up what they are or who they are. Okay, now one of the sad things that did happen last January was the end of the Osborne Family Lights. It went for a long time, and I was able to see it a couple of different years. However, I didn't make it down for that last showing. You guys make it down for the last run?
I did not. I've only been to Disney for Christmas once. It's the downfall of working in retail. But I was down in 2014. And I didn't think I would care for it that much, and I was very impressed. And I was incredibly saddened by the fact that that wasn't something I was going to be able to experience again.
Right. So now, have they replaced, other than they have the big light show and the name escapes me, but they had the Christmas show at the Hollywood Studios.
Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam.
Thank you very much.
That's sort of the replacement. I did make it down to see the final season of the Osborne Lights. I did the Merry and Bright dessert package, which was really cool, and hung out in the area that's all closed down at this point. But it was great to see the Osborne Lights for the last time. 20 years they ran, which is amazing. Moving from the streets of America, moving from residential street to the streets of America, starting to dance, all that fun stuff. It's always been something that I've looked forward to. There was definitely a missing void this past Christmas when I traveled down. Let's hope that for 2017 there's something there to replace that void. That's all we can hope for.
Yep, no doubt. Okay, so here's another bright bit of news, and actually makes a lot more sense now than it did last January, but they made an announcement that the Disney Flixel drones, that drone show that we've been talking about, got their first permit, I guess it was, to have some type of flyby shows, or a nighttime show altogether. And I think it was for about 50 drones at first, which was pretty cool knowing that by the end of the year, we're going to be up to 300.
Knowing that now, and if you look back at that announcement, which was back in January of 2016, they talked about 50 drones, and the artwork includes Cinderella's castle. So who knows what they were or weren't thinking or what is still in the drawing board, but that's kind of cool to think there could be something completely different than the Merry and Bright show that we saw at Studios with something at the it's going to be cool moving forward. But that was the first indications of something to come, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's going to be interesting, and it's going to be more so that we're past the Christmas season, the holiday season. What's the next show going to be? We haven't heard that yet. Okay, so moving on. The Legs Motor Action Extreme Stunt Show, another Hollywood Studios announcement, is going to be permanently closed in April. So they've already put those announcements out there, fresh in the beginning of the year, letting people know that Hollywood Studios 2016 it's going to be starting to shut down. And, you know, mixed feelings about Lights Motors Action. I only went like every third time to Hollywood Studios to that show. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
It took up a lot of real estate when you think about how big that was back there.
Oh, yeah. And it was really sad because they had a lot of great pictures of the deconstruction going on. Somebody a cast member or somebody, was taking some really awesome pictures they're throwing up online. Awesome and sad, I guess, at the same time. I think at one point almost everything was torn down except for the canyon, and that was still standing by itself.
No, back for a backlot tour.
Right. So that's something that we're going to know about, and we've seen a lot of construction, and actually they've been making a lot of announcements recently. We'll talk about that later. Metal detector operations transfers to Disney Security. Metal detectors, we've seen a lot of those this year, or past year, 2016. They've gone from being one at each of the parks, I remember, to being a bank of two, to being different sets of two, depending on what park you're in. The bad experience, I got picked almost every time.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't think you guys are going to have to worry about that much more because I think everybody's going to get picked every time sooner than later.
The only thing I thought I have is they've got to make it seamless. Like where, you know, you're on the turnpike now going through those tolls. They got to do the same thing with this type of metal detector. Just everybody's going to walk through and they just got to pull people they see registering. Or else it's just going to hold everybody up.
It is.
But for safety, course, for safety.
I understand.
Right. So now here's another theme we're going to find is that innovations over at Epcot was closing down piece by piece. And last January, they announced that the Habit Heroes show was going to be permanently closed. The game you played or you went through when you saw the different types of bad habits you can do and the way you fight that. We went through that once with the kids, and it was kind of cool to try it. So it was nice in that respect. But it just kind of started the whole domino run of the emptying out of innovations.
I don't know that I ever was able to do Habit Heroes. I don't think I did, but at the same time, seeing those things slowly disappearing and there's more on the list coming up makes me wonder what the thoughts are moving forward.
Right, because that's a lot of real estate as well.
Sure.
Right, and right now it's basically black on both sides. The majority of it is empty. The color exhibit is really kind of cool, that the paint store color thing.
Is it Glidden? Is that where it was?
Yes, exactly. But it's an excellent exhibit. It's awesome. You go in there, the colors change, and everything else changes with it.
But then at the same time, Ed, that we heard that Habit Heroes was closing, we also heard that Joy and Sadness could potentially be coming to a meet and greet in that area. So you got a little idea of what they were thinking, or might be thinking, moving forward.
And actually, that's one thing that has been surviving, is the meet and greets. So we'll see if it hopefully doesn't... I hope it doesn't turn over to that. The other thought is it's going to be some bigger exhibit maybe in there. But now we're moving on to predictions. And the last thing we discovered was that they had the Disneyland 60 TV special, and they had that preview of the upcoming Star Wars lands that got everybody excited. So everybody was really loving that whole Star Wars land, and that was the first little bit of artwork that we saw. And I remember that really well because the artwork really hasn't changed a lot since then. And we're so looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the payoff for all of these things closing and all of these things shutting down. That's the payoff. We're not there yet, but, man, I love knowing that now things are starting to be built instead of taken down. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep, no doubt, no doubt. Okay, so as we move further in the year into February, Disney officially announced that they're going to expand the ESPN complex. And they're building a new 8,000-seat venue built basically for those dance teams and those cheerleading teams you see around the parks running around. And they're expected to bring a lot of people into that. And it's a pretty cool thing. I think it's great for those type of events to have a place to go like Disney. It makes the park just a little bit more crowded when it happens.
It does. So this is all part of the new complex that they're building not far from Animal Kingdom, which is designed specifically to attract these groups of the midget football players and soccer teams and baseball, giving them a place in cheerleader competitions, giving them not only a venue but hotels around it where they can stay and then practice, as opposed to flooding into Hollywood Studios to leverage the Indiana Jones stage set that they've done in the past. So I think this is great for Disney and for the ESPN sports complex.
I think it's one of the smartest things they've done, just with the amount of people that go down. I know I have friends that go down and play softball in tournaments over there, and you're right, peewee or midget football. They just have so many tournaments and so many things going on over there. So to expand that complex is outstanding.
Mm-hmm. I almost have to argue they should find some room and put another hotel in right near it.
So there will be Marriott's, Spring Hill Suites, and a couple of non-Disney hotels there.
Okay, that's why I didn't hear. Nice,
they're
perfect.
Not Disney resorts, but at the same time, if you've ever been there, if you were ever fortunate enough to be staying at one of the All-Stars when the midget football tournaments were going on, holy cow, were those places just overrun with kids. And that's okay, I understand that. But now what you're doing is saying, hey, we're going to have a facility where you guys have a practice field. So you can go and practice and get ready for your tournament, and then when you're ready, you know, then come over to Disney World and we'll do some cool things. I definitely think it's cool. And it also alleviates the question that we always had about them using these venues inside of the parks for these different competitions. So now they have a place to go. So I think it's good all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, here's a good announcement for Hollywood Studios. It didn't take us that long. Kylo Ren now appearing at Star Wars launch bay.
Is that good or is it not good?
And has not left. I had a whole time questioning the way he does his appearances or the way they project Kylo Ren, in that people want to get a picture with him. They don't want him to stand over on the other side of the room and not be in the picture with them or being like way far away. I get he has an attitude and he's got to portray it, but man, they played this guy rough.
But they immerse you in the experience of what it would be like to meet Kylo Ren. It's exactly what you want.
Yeah, but if he was that pissed off to be there, then he wouldn't be there.
I'm okay with it, but he replaced Vader, and Vader hasn't come back, and that's why I'm not all that happy. But I understand. It is what it is, but I expected at the time that Darth Vader would be back when Rogue One came out, and that didn't happen, so I'm a little surprised.
Right, yeah, we'll definitely see. Although, who is over at the Padawans, teaching the Padawans? Is it Vader? Who's the bad guy?
It's Darth Maul, and...
The characters from the Rebel show, isn't it?
Yeah, the Seventh Sister, however that
right,
goes.
Right.
But it would be easy to put Vader back in there.
You would definitely think. Plus, I got to imagine this next year coming up, getting prepped for Star Wars Land, which is only a year or two away, whatever.
Right.
They're going to have some more shows coming up where it's going to be more of those everybody in it shows. And you'll probably see Vader coming around. Wasn't Vader in one of the shows this summer like that? Where they kind of basically showed all the different groups of the Star Wars characters. But we'll see. He's not gone forever.
No, not at all.
Nope. Now, this is the second month, second announcement. They had another drone update. This time they're getting permits to have their drones show projections. Which, this one now, reading it again and remembering about that, is kind of an odd thing because they haven't used any type of projections yet. All we've seen are lights being positioned and moved around. So really looking forward to this.
That's exciting. That was exciting news. To me, the projections that they do are outstanding to begin with. To know that they're going to have drones that will be able to do that, some of these nighttime shows are going to be really cool.
Sure makes me wonder where that technology is going. Like, projections, what does that mean? Are they projecting? Are you projecting onto them? There's so many questions. I can't wait to see whatever they're thinking here.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
But it did not make it into the Christmas show, so there's something else up their sleeves. Love it.
I can't imagine it'll go another year without. We'll see next year.
Right.
Okay, another Hollywood Studios announcement. Go figure. But they announced the new lights, Star Wars light show, the Galactic Spectacular, which is going to open up in the summer. They also announced a Galaxy Far, Far Away coming to Hollywood Studios too, which was going to be a new live show, which maybe that's the one I was thinking about. But either way, I can't remember. Did you know Star Wars weekends were done at this point? Last year?
We did, because we learned about that. I can't remember exactly when, but we learned about it around the same time we learned that the Osborne lights were done.
Oh, gotcha. So it was probably in the fall.
It was in that time frame.
Hearing this announcement kind of nailed that down, though, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Jumping to Magic Kingdom. We haven't heard a lot from over there, which says a lot. Because the previous 3 or 4 years, that's all it was. Magic Kingdom, new Fantasyland, big changes and things like that, the new hub and such. So, Diamond Horseshoe opening soon for table service and lunch and dinner. That was an interesting announcement because it gave the Magic Kingdom another table service restaurant. I wonder if they had another one closed down at the time and they're refurbing it. That's why they did this. Can't remember.
Were either of you able to leverage Diamond Horseshoe?
No, I wasn't.
I only had counter service, but I've eaten there 76 when we went there as kids. I still remember the Diamond Horseshoe. They had the show.
Well, you still had the show going on at that point.
They did have, and that's why I remembered it, because it was like the poor man's hoop-de-doo.
Exactly, that's exactly what it was. But it was good.
It was. Oh no, and they interacted with the crowd. I mean, I totally remember it. It was a fun show. But that's good. I mean, Magic Kingdom can't have too many places to eat, really, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need those places to stop.
I was asking because I wanted to do a table service there, but I just never got to it. The menu didn't look as appealing as Liberty Tree or some of the other options, and I just didn't make it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that happens. It's always how it goes. Same-day reservations at the Jungle Cruise Skipper Canteen continue beyond the test period. So now they were doing, you can walk up and get reservations. They weren't taking, I guess, reservations ahead of time. And they were testing out this whole new way to do it at the canteen. And I want to say another restaurant, but it's not coming to my mind right away. And I think they are continuing it. I take that back. I don't think they're doing that anymore. Do you guys know off the top of your head?
No, it's you have to advance reservations.
Right, so I guess it failed?
For a while, they were doing the walk-ups over at Crystal Palace. Or not Crystal Palace, I'm sorry, on the other side of
Tony's.
The street. Not Tony's.
The Plaza.
The Plaza restaurant was doing the walk-ups. I don't know if they're still doing that or not.
Well, it's funny, because I always thought the Plaza being a walk-up most of the time.
Yeah, well, for a while...
Anyway, even with advanced reservations, you could probably get something over there.
Yeah, you know, it seemed like the cast members were on their good old, do you have a reservation? And if you said no, they sent you away, whether they had open tables or not. It just felt like that was happening for some time. Because I was able to turn around, open the app, make a reservation, come right back and sit down.
Right. And that brings up a great point, because it depends on your frame of when you've tried to do things like that. Because, yeah, I remember it was an easy time to get in. You're like, they changed policy and they weren't even looking. So they teach people how to do it.
Yep.
Advanced reservations. Exactly. Okay. Now, another announcement that happened in March 2016 was that 30 new stores were coming into the town center at Disney Springs. And this was further announcements about what was going to happen down at the old downtown Disney. And based on the other announcements that we're going to hear over the course of the year and then, of course, the openings of these things, it's a major, major improvement. What do you guys think?
When they shut that down and then rebuilt it, I walked around in October, and I still think about walking around, and I can't get my feet – I can't stand there and figure out where I was if I was standing in Pleasure Island or in downtown Disney. Like, I can't quite figure it out. So they did a really good job of just bulldozing that to the ground and building it up fresh to some degree and making it feel like a completely brand-new experience.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely like the town center itself. I think a lot of that, Lisa, has to do because you're actually in stores that were the parking lot previously. If you look at some Google Maps shot of it, they did a lot of expansion, and it's interesting to see all the shops there. You know, I'm not there to shop, but I like window shopping and looking around on my way to World of Disney, which is really what I'm doing when I'm at Disney Springs.
And it right. Certainly, for revenue purposes, it certainly brings in the locals.
Well, right, and that's what I was thinking, because the stores are really a higher level store-wise, and you got to imagine that is kind of for the locals to come in, too. Because you don't want to go on vacation. Well, maybe you do want to go on vacation and spend a lot of extra money at those type of stores. I don't really vacation that way, but, well, you know, some do. Anyway, March, the Zootopia characters also started showing up in the parks, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, Move It, Shake It, Celebrate It parade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they have meet and greets over at Hollywood Studios in the beginning of the movie?
I heard that they were, but I had not seen them.
I don't think that they were, because this was a weird time, because where they used to do those meet and greets is now Launch Bay. I believe that they had some meet and greets at the AMC Theater at Downtown Disney.
That's what it was. It was a one-time deal.
Yeah.
I think Jen might have actually even made it to that.
And that it's weird, because when you think about it, that's where all the new movie characters always were. They were at the old Animation Courtyard, but now that's Launch Bay, so they couldn't put them there. They did appear in this parade, and they're still in this parade today. And I know that both of these characters were part of the Halloween party. They were out taking photos.
I think they could have used them a lot more. But maybe the movie didn't do as – the movie did great. What am I saying?
Yeah,
they didn't do as well as I thought.
Disney
they did
pretty
incredible.
Well in movies in 2016.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Okay, something we haven't heard about yet. Disney Cruise Line announcements in March. They said they're going to be building two new ships.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to hear more about that this year, but that was pretty incredible to hear.
Yeah, I think
and
those,
they're going to be,
those new ones are due in 2021 and 2023, so they're a little ways out there, but they're coming. It takes a while to build one of those ships.
Oh, I know. That's one of the coolest things is you see some of the documentaries and when they put the dream together and the fantasy. Okay, here's another really good announcement, and it's continued on, so I think this is going to be a win. The Night Safari at the Disney Animal Kingdom Lodge now open to all. And in addition to that, the announcement of the Night Safari on the safari at the parks, at the park itself. So I thought that that was probably one of the best things they did this year. And we're probably going to talk a little bit more about the night stuff as we continue on with more of these announcements at Animal Kingdom.
I know you're a big fan of that. I was not able to do a nighttime safari. Lisa, did you get a nighttime safari over at Animal Kingdom?
I did, and it totally changed my outlook on Animal Kingdom. It was amazing.
Nice. Cool. To me, the nighttime, it's like the daytime. Let's start with that, in that you are hit or miss. You're still going to see animals. You might not see animals. We have never seen so many lions standing up and actually doing stuff. One time we went through, they were vocalizing. Another time, they were just standing up and hanging out. The sunset is kind of cool once you try to stop figuring out what it is creating all the light on that top, at the side of the safari, because it does look like a shimmering actual Lion King sunset. It's pretty cool.
It is very cool, and I spent more time than I'd like to admit trying to figure out what was going on.
Right, exactly.
but I have done the early morning. I've done the very first safari in the morning. And I found that the nighttime safari produced, I was able to see a ton more animals at night than I was during the day.
Here's the big surprise. They brought in the wild dogs because they're all nocturnal and they're supposed to be wild and crazy at night. I saw them sleeping in the daytime, and we did not see them on any of the nighttime safaris. We did hear them. So for some reason, they were up in the woods behind where their pit was or their pen was, whatever. But, we never saw those guys. Rhinos, big time, a lot of rhinos. Elephants still out, giraffes
and
are still out.
Giraffes, they walked right over to the truck, barely.
Oh, that's cool.
It was outstanding. And agree with you 100%, Ed. Lions, active, incredibly active. The lions were very active.
Yep, definitely. It was cool. Okay, now something else I'm going to mention, because I noticed this on our summer trip, and I thought it was kind of cool to note some of the rides are going to stop using the second FastPass touch point. You know how at the beginning of the ride you have the cast members there and they check your FastPass, your band, and then you go to the almost to the end of that line, almost to the ride beginning, and then they'll check you again. I noticed they stopped doing that for a lot of rides. Star Tours was the first one I really noticed that. And I'm like, okay, makes sense. They want to speed the line up and keep people moving. Once the word gets out, isn't that going to be out of control? People going on either line and jumping?
You would think.
Or am I just thinking bad?
I didn't experience that. I know exactly what you're saying, but I didn't see it. Star Tours, mm-hmm. I noticed that at It's a Small World. I noticed it at Pirates of the Caribbean. There were quite a few places. But Pirates, your lines are physically separate, so you can't really jump. I guess that risk is always there, but hopefully that doesn't.
And on the opposite, I did see line jumpers, and it wasn't until I saw a line jumper that it dawned on me that they didn't scan the second time. And it was probably, mm-hmm. A couple days into the trip, and I went, oh, you know what? They haven't scanned the second time the whole entire trip. So I'm curious as to whether or not that'll come back.
What attraction was that, Lisa?
Frozen.
Frozen, got it.
Oh, yeah, that would be easy to do in Frozen. Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah.
Interesting. Here's another good one. Hollywood Studios, Muppets 3D in Mama Melrose's area to be renamed the Muppet Courtyard. Has that happened?
That has happened. It is on maps as the Muppet Courtyard.
And I'm sure we'll hear something else about that down the road here, down the year.
Sure too. Now, the other thing that you could do about this time, Ed, is go online and get your purple Magic Band.
I got mine.
Got a purple
nice.
One.
Good.
I got mine.
Well, you got to make that collection. Now it's becoming a Hollywood Studios. Here's one of the sadder ones. The writer's stop at this point was going to remain open for a limited time, limited menu. However, we know how that turned out.
Yeah, it turned out not good.
Which is kind of funny. And you think they would have done it a little bit more organized, because it actually had one more incarnation before it finally did close. Wasn't it some type of, like, an appetizer type of store?
Yeah, which just didn't make any sense. But it was appetizers, like, I think mozzarella and tomato type appetizers, and it just didn't make sense for where it was. But that could be because I'm thinking I'm going to go in there and get a breakfast food, and there just wasn't anymore. So mm-hmm. It didn't last that long, and now it's completely closed and gone.
I'm incredibly disappointed by this. It was one of my favorite places to go.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody says that. I agree. Okay, so we're beginning April, and the beginning of April gave us a really, really sad announcement. However, it wasn't totally unexpected, because we had heard a lot of different rumors about this, that the Rivers of Light over at the Animal Kingdom was officially going to be delayed. I think we're hearing a lot of rumors at that point it was going to be opening up for spring and be there all summer for us to see when we got down there, and it didn't turn out that way. I think I remember being a cast member show that it didn't work out as well as they thought, so they kind of canned the whole thing.
Technical difficulties. It's delayed.
Yeah. So that actually brought about another show, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that coming up. That was about an Indian taste, and it was a very good fill-in for the amount of time they had to put that together. I saw a couple bits and pieces of it. I never actually sat in and watched it. I did have a fast pass for it one night and opted to do other things. Did you guys happen to catch that show? The replacement for Rivers of Light?
I did not get to see
it. Was this
the... That was basically just the summertime, the Jungle Book.
Jungle Book, yes. I didn't experience that.
Mm-hmm. It was one of those things like they do at Epcot when they have the people in the American Pavilion at the concert hall. You can hear it everywhere. So it was kind of cool in that you'd have the music going on as you're walking around, too. Okay, another big announcement in April, and a big, big move toward what's going to happen in Hollywood Studios, and actually out in California, too, the groundbreaking of the Star Wars land in both the parks, Disneyland and Hollywood Studios. That just proved it was going to happen.
Yeah, that was early April is when everything started closing. That's when you saw the last Lights, Motors, Action. That's when Streets of America were shut down. That's when everything closed up. The walls all went up. The dead end of Toy Story Mania came to be, and they took in some shovels, started digging things up, and started tearing things down.
I think it was April 2nd, if I remember correctly.
It was early April, yep. That's it.
Yeah, couldn't have been an April Fool's. They had to do it the next day. Oh, well. Okay, so now... Animal Kingdom also had an announcement that they're going to be opening up a new restaurant called Tiffin's, which was open when we got down there in the summertime, and it was a really, really nice place. I stopped by for a drink. They have a really awesome outside bar, and they also have an inside... I didn't want to call it a restaurant because it didn't seem like it was that formal. But it is another restaurant, kind of a sit-down-ish type place.
So, Ed, this is located sort of... on the way back to where Avatar Land will be, right?
Yes, correct. So right, actually, next to the walls that kept you from going.
Okay, so then ultimately, I'd expect that this restaurant has views of Avatar Land and is along that. Is that fair? Do you think?
Oh, no doubt. It'll be the last Earth refuge before you hit Pandora.
All right, cool.
Unless they somehow theme it to...
It's the Outer Rim. It's the Outer Rim. Oh, no, wait. Wrong part.
Exactly. A little ways away. Okay, so cool. Let's move it on. And now this kind of ties in with the announcement we had of the safari. We were talking about it. But Animal Kingdom went all in with extended hours at the parks for the summer. And I'm sorry, for the Animal Kingdom extended hours for the summer coming up, which meant the park was going to be open to a mind-blowing 11 o'clock almost every night. And what was cool about that, some of the other parks were closing earlier than Animal Kingdom was.
Well, because you have a shell game going on of don't look here at studios where there's nothing to do. Go over to Animal Kingdom where everything's cool and open late.
And exactly what I was saying. Hollywood Studios was the one that was closing earlier. Right. Now, the events, and I'm sure we're going to talk about these later, but just real quick, they had the safari. They had the incredible lit-up tree of life where they did the night show, the light show at night, and that was just out of this world. I literally sat there for an hour and a half just watching the different shows on the tree just because it was that mind-blowing, which happens to be kind of close to Tiffin, so we were able to kind of back and forth to that.
Yeah, now unfortunately, I never got to experience this nighttime Animal Kingdom stuff. There was later in the fall, there was a little storm that screwed that up for me, but I did my best. It was on the plan, just didn't happen.
Oh, I know. I know.
I'll tell you, take the opportunity to. I know I've talked about it before, but riding Everest at night is, there isn't another experience like it.
Nice.
Yeah, I agree. And that's kind of what you get at Magic Kingdom. You have that extra advantage of doing those nighttime roller coasters and outdoor rides. You can chalk up Animal Kingdom to that now, too.
Another interesting thing in April, Ed, was the announcement by James Cameron that there was going to be a fifth Avatar movie that would basically mean we're going to see four more Avatar movies all the way through 2023, and Disney's going to have this park opened and four more movies coming. It's kind of interesting what's going to be happening there. And if the popularity of these new movies is near what the first one was, they might be on to a pretty big hit here.
Sure. Now, I tell you what, to be honest, I'll feel a lot more warm and fuzzy once number two comes out, as opposed to this number five. But, definitely. I hope it kind of continues. Okay, so we're moving into May with a bit of a... Who am I kidding? This is hugely bad news. The Eiffel Tower over at Hollywood Studios, gone. Yeah. Farewell. It's gone. So, Hollywood Studios change continues, and that's kind of the big one right there. Although that part of the park was all torn up anyway, I kind of understood that. My big thing is, why didn't they move it somewhere they can use it?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, it probably would have fit in pretty well over at Disney Springs.
Even in Hollywood Studios, maybe the parking lot. It could have been their kind of like thing type of...
I think that announcement came around right around the time that everybody was wondering what the new symbol of the park was going to be. The hat was gone, and it must be the Eiffel Tower. That's what it's going to be. And then they announced that that's going away. And now what?
That's why they did it, I'm sure.
The Tower of Terror on all the publications. But okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, this was kind of cool, and this kind of shows the flexibility now of some of the new software and some of the attractions. Basically, you had the Finding Dory characters now being included in Turtle Talk with Crush. So when you go see the show, some of the characters from the new movie make an appearance and talk to you. And I haven't seen it, and I feel so bad about that. Did you guys have a chance to check it out? I mean, Sam, you got the little kid. Lisa, don't you still have a couple little ones?
I haven't brought them in a while.
Yeah,
coming this year.
I did not get to see the Finding Dory.
And I got to imagine it's pretty cool. I got to check out a video of that sometime soon before it's out of there. And I wonder if it is, or are they just going to leave them now?
That's a good question.
We'll have to see. Yeah.
Until the next movie.
I know, right? I think Pixar's going to be doing a lot more before another Finding Nemo type movie. But we'll see. Here's another thing that kind of ended in May. The sale of Disney dollars.
Yeah.
That was one of the coolest things we did with the kids was had Disney dollars. And when we actually had a Disney store nearby, it was even better.
I think that's one of the demises of the Disney dollar. There are a lot of Disney stores that don't exist anymore.
True. But it was, very true. Because you couldn't say you're only using them down at the parks. That just wouldn't cut it. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and the whole way electronic gift card game has just made it irrelevant. And I'm sure cost prohibitive for Disney to continue to print those and get them made. So I get it. Changing times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so moving on in May. Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair to open June at the Magic Kingdom. I don't know what that is.
It's the stage show.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Is it still there or is it already gone?
Yep, which it was not there for the holidays, but it's back. This was the show to first take advantage of the new stage, which was the final piece of the hub expansion and construction. It's also a show that is running at nighttime that includes some pretty cool castle projection effects sort of in this part of the show, which is neat.
Oh, it sounds nice. Okay, another Disney Springs update. They opened up the new bus loop, which, to be honest with you, I haven't been to Disney Springs from a resort. I've only gone by car. Which brings up another point we didn't mention as far as they had a lot of new stores, but the garages that they put in 2016 for Disney Springs, the old downtown Disney, are just incredible. Those garages take a lot to fill up. But don't get me wrong, they do fill up. But nice. First time I saw the technology where they actually told you how many parking spaces were in each floor and how many parking spaces in each aisle there were available. That was cool. I like to see new talk.
I have been able to leverage the new bus loop. It's wonderful. It's right in the middle. It can accommodate the big buses. It's definitely much less congestion. And it also incorporates very nicely into the main drag that goes Buena Vista Drive, I believe it is, that goes in front of Disney Springs with the new bus lanes in the center. So as easy it is for cars to sort of get off and go up over the highway into the parking garage. The buses now have dedicated bus lanes, and they're expanding that now to the intersection of World Drive and Buena Vista Drive to make that so, and if you go down there now, there's tons of construction, but ultimately there'll be no red lights or stops there. It's going to be an intersection where traffic just continues to flow, which means buses from Animal Kingdom straight past Epcot on a busway all the way to Disney Springs. There were some major infrastructure enhancements that had to happen before Disney Springs opened, and you definitely benefit from all of that infrastructure. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's a whole new experience now. And the biggest problem they had with downtown Disney was the security issues in the parking lots, which are not an issue anymore.
Parking garages have cameras, and lots of them.
Oh, yeah. But even with the cameras, there is a guard on every floor.
Yeah.
And on the entrances and going down the escalators into Disney Springs. So they're not going to let that get out of control. The next announcement we got, starting in June, and actually it's paying off now because we're going to be seeing this soon, the 2017 Pro Bowl is going to be played in Orlando with ESPN Wildwood Sports holding a lot of different activities. So does that mean ABC has the Super Bowl this year, or is it just the Pro Bowl?
I don't think ABC has the Super Bowl, but I was just
I don't think ABC has the Super Bowl either.
Right, but they probably have the Pro Bowl, I can imagine. But so that's going to be interesting. It's going to bring a lot of people down to the parks around that time of the year. And, well, not that it's necessary. People go down anyway.
It may not be aired on ABC. It may be aired on ESPN.
Oh, good point. You are totally right. They do that now. You're right.
It is indeed on ESPN this year, January 29th, 2017.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Here's another announcement from Magic Kingdom. Again, not too many. But Tony's Town Square Restaurant, they introduced a Main Street Electrical Parade viewing package. And I guess that was only a matter of time, considering how the hub had been overproduced, and they have some special areas there to view parades and fireworks. I can understand that being on the circle down by Tony's, too. Which I kind of think that's where that special seating was, or viewing area. Did you take advantage of that, Sam, or did you just luck out?
I did it this past trip, and that's exactly where I was. And I think there's a little more to this story, because earlier in 2016, Disney removed parade and fireworks viewing from My Disney Experience.
Oh, that's right, they did.
Previously, you were able to book a Fast Pass for the Festival of Fantasy parade or the Main Street at the time. Those went away, and instead now you can purchase a dessert package that includes Wishes viewing, and you could do this Tony's Town Square package. I did the Tony's package because we needed lunch, and it wasn't that much more. It's for Festival of Fantasy, and I thought, why not? I couldn't get into the dessert package, so I went with this one. You had lunch at Tony's Town Square. They gave you what appeared to look like a Fast Pass, but it was a little bit different. It was indeed the old Parade Fast Pass viewing, which is the inside of the of the hub up in Town Square. Essentially, the parade route comes straight at you. So where I broadcast live for the Disney Nerds podcast, I was literally looking straight at the castle with the parade coming right at me, which was an absolutely great place to be. And it was part of the package. So we had lunch, we watched the parade, then we went on to the next thing. It's monetizing fast passes in a lot of ways, but it was crowded and it looked like it was sold out.
Right. And to be honest with you, Epcot's been doing this type of thing for years, the packages sure. and such like that. So it totally makes sense. I mean, I understand it. So cool. I wonder
and
why
it's one
those
packages where you get the menu and it's like, okay, pick an appetizer, pick an entree, pick a dessert. You get one of each, whether you eat them or not. It's almost like being on a dining plan. And then when you're done, gotcha. They hand you the pass.
Cool. Did they ever come out with a reason why the other hub down by the castle, they took away that fast pass viewing? We used that last year, 2016 summer, and it was really nice. It was actually very nice.
I was up there as well, Ed, and early on I booked that fast pass, and it was right in front of the castle. Is where that parade viewing was. And when the hub construction started, they moved it to Town Square, and it never got moved back. I don't know why, but that's what happened.
Yeah, that was 2015 summer. But yeah. Oh, well, things that work, things that don't work. Okay, something sad that happened in June, and which, to be honest with you, it was only a matter of time. They had an alligator attack at the parks. A young boy was snatched by an alligator and taken out in the water and drowned. And based on that, all the beach areas and the entire park resort were closed, evaluated, and then basically everything started opening up slowly with new fences and a lot of new signage. What do you think, guys? Is that enough? And I have a really quick point, but I want to hear what you guys want to say real quick.
You know, I think at first I was a little disappointed. I think some of my greatest memories are walking along the waterfront at the Polynesian. But when I got there and I saw, I think it's done well and it's done tastefully. I think the rocks actually look pretty. I think they did a really good job aesthetically to make it look good and not make it look, not just put up, you know, orange fencing and with a keep out sign. So I think they did it in a really tasteful way.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely unfortunate, the circumstances. They did what needed to be done. And like Lisa said, if you're a first-time visitor, you don't know that the rocks and the barriers were never not there. If you're a long-time Disney World visitor, you know that they're new, but after two or three trips, you just take it for granted and don't even notice them. So the first time you go, if you haven't been there, you're going to be like, oh, look what they did to the lakefront. And then three times later, you won't even pay any attention. So it is what it is. It's unfortunate.
Right. And it just goes without saying, but waiting is no longer allowed anywhere.
Not that it ever was.
Well, I disagree with that. The signs did not ever say don't enter the water.
The signs said no swimming.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Poly, and I was thinking that the Grand Floridian really didn't have that big of a beach, but the Poly did. And yeah, exactly, no swimming, which to me means you could still go ankle deep. I mean, that's
right. I get it.
But then again, if you lived on a lake, you probably would have known better than that. I don't know. It's a tough one. And that's
unfortunate.
Brought a lot of conversation up based on that, which was unfortunate for the family. One final point in that, okay, cool. They've got these fences around all the lakes, all the resorts and things like that, and the beaches. We were down this summer. You go through the parking lots, you see all the runoff areas, and they have these big canals between parking lots. Epcot's got a lot of them that are pretty defined. We saw alligators in the runoff. So it's only a matter of time before something happens there, which is pretty wild, but who would think that?
It's Central Florida. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Okay, another announcement in June, and we've talked about this on many different shows. We're not going to go too much in it, but the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular Dessert Party was moved inside to the launch bay.
Yep.
Coolest thing, I think that was pretty much a great thing. It was weatherproof, and now I understand when we did it, we were inside totally, but I think it was just, weather permitting that. They use that outside courtyard a lot more now, John mentioned. So I think that would have been a little bit more fun, having a little outdoor along with the indoor. But still, great move. Pizza Rizzo announced for Disney Hollywood Studios in July. That was a great announcement. That made everybody kind of breathe a little easier that the Muppets Courtyard is going to stay, because there were rumors running around the Muppets might be going.
Absolutely. There were a lot of rumors. In fact, we speculated to some of that. Would Pizza Rizzo, would Pizza Planet reopen Muppets theme or Star Wars theme? And we thought that we could read a lot into the future of Muppet Vision based on that, and it turned out we were right. It's opened up as Pizza Rizzo's, and Muppet Vision seems to be okay for now.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
they
very
seem
cool.
To be holding on to that. They seem to be holding on to that brand pretty tightly, which is, I think, it's outstanding.
Oh, I do too, especially when you look at Muppet Mobile Labs that could potentially be there, what they did at Magic Kingdom. There's a lot of cool Muppet stuff that happened in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, I know we're doing the review of 2016, but I can't help it. I can't help it. 2017 news just getting in here. I heard the balloon's being taken down because it will be seen from Star Wars Land. So the big balloon on top of the Muppets Vision is on its way out also now.
I saw that as well. Rumor right now, but I could see it happening, I guess.
Yeah, sure. One of the big views I got from Hollywood Studios this time around is you can literally see from one side of the park to the other.
Yeah.
John took me down to the end of Pixar Place, and you could see from there, and you saw the balloon with no problem, Muppet Vision.
Yep.
Right across where you had the Streets of America. That was a depressing sight.
Yeah, because you're down there. That's why I'm so happy they're going to be building now instead of taking down. That's.
Well, and that's what I was just saying that again. We were just discussing it. Have they finished the deconstruction? Have they actually started building things yet so we can find out what's going to happen? So we're all looking forward to it.
Shortly thereafter, we had big news at Epcot when we saw that the Three Caballeros in Mexico would be opening at 9 a.m. The Mexican counter service is going to have some breakfast opening at 9 a.m. And all of that is so that as people were rushing to get to the brand new Frozen Ever After attraction, they had some places to stop off to grab breakfast. We have a new attraction in Norway. How cool is that? And a meet and greet.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I to see all the different choices you have now in the mornings is pretty cool. And they had to do something to slow the people down on the way to Norway. So that made a lot of sense.
Did it really work, though?
No.
Did it slow them down? No.
No, it didn't.
It gave them options while they stood in the 400-minute line. But I don't know whether or not it slowed them down.
Those early days seem so rough. Wow.
We actually, and since we're talking 2016, we waited in the line one time. We had fast passes the other times we went on it. But one time we actually waited, and we got on the line at about 150-minute mark. And it didn't take us out. It didn't take us 150 minutes. I'll say that. It ended up being maybe an hour and a half, hour and three quarters, such. But still, we had to see it. We weren't going to be able to do it any other way, so we did. And it was worth it.
I just want to make a note that Ed got into a line for Frozen that was 150 minutes long.
Yeah. Gee, I thought we were getting... Well, it is a review of 2016. Maybe we can leave that joke in 2016. Another cool announcement in June, coming to the Food and Wine, the Chew are going to actually broadcast live, or not live, but at least film some shows from there, which is pretty cool. And we saw them film their last week of shows because they had to pack up for the hurricane. So yeah. I think they double filmed, and it was cool seeing it. And a lot of people got tickets, and they basically took you in very early in the morning around rope drop time. And we saw them going in on the left side of the turnstiles. Basically, had the whole group of people, and they just had a whole line follow them into the studio. Set up on the World Showcase Lake, coming right out of, as you came out of Future World, coming into World Showcase. It was set up kind of in that area there. And that was pretty cool, getting some coverage on TV. Okay, so we're moving into July, and we see that they now, this is a turn for the green with Disney, which they're always ahead of the game. Electric vehicle charging stations are announced coming to the Magic Kingdom parking lot, Ticket and Transportation Center. Now, I always wonder about that. I see those around. Do you have to pay to use them?
It depends upon what kind of electric vehicle you have. Some some cars come with a... It comes as part of the purchase of the vehicle, and others you need to pay.
Yeah, okay. Be interesting to see them. It'd be kind of fun. And as we move into August, another really cool announcement came about. And I tell you what, when it first came about, I really didn't give it the credence it needed. It was the Muppets Present Great Moments in American History Coming to the Magic Kingdom.
Great Moments in History, but just the American parts. Sorry.
That is a very, very, very good show. Bringing the Muppets in the Magic Kingdom, okay, cool. Giving a history lesson, yeah, even better. But doing it the way they do it with such humor and crowd involvement, wow. Wow, really, really cool. I think one of the best things they've done this year.
I think I stopped 4 times to watch that show.
Oh, it's so easy, too. And they have it in a great location other than just being a little bit narrow. The only thing is just it does get a little crowded in there. But you know what? Everybody's having such a great time that usually people trying to get through just kind of hang out and watch the rest of the show. Okay, coming out of August, some sad news for some people, some exciting news for others. The Main Street Electrical Parade was going to end its run in October. And actually, people kind of went bonkers right away with that announcement for the good and for the bad. It was interesting discussion.
October 9th, it was the had two showings on October 9th. That was, I believe they had one at 9 and one at 11. I was able to enjoy the 11 o'clock showing.
So you saw the last one there?
I saw the very last one there.
That's pretty cool.
It was incredibly crowded. There were a lot of people that were very sad. A lot of cast members involved in walking after the parade had gone by. A lot of cast members walked with it. It was the first time I'd really been at Disney for a last or a first. And that was, it was interesting to see because everybody had stopped. There wasn't a lot of walking. You know, typically have the walking paths. Nobody was walking. Everybody had stopped and they were watching the parade.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, I did see it's going to be in Disneyland.
Disneyland's so getting it back. They can have it.
Right. and again, I thought it was an okay parade. I just couldn't watch it more than like a couple times. I'm sorry, please don't hold this against me. I just thought the repetitiveness of the music just really kind of took me away.
It wasn't Spectro Magic.
It wasn't Spectro Magic, correct. Correct. What is the replacement?
Hey, that's the question. That's the question.
Exactly.
I know what you're going to say, Sam. To both of us, it's not Paint the Night.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, because as much as you guys, and right. I love Spectro Magic, after you see Paint the Night, you forget about Spectro Magic, trust me. And well, Disneyland is getting the Main Street Electrical Parade, but they still have weekend showings of Paint the Night on some of their Times guides. I've been watching to see if that disappears. Hasn't yet, but that doesn't mean it won't.
Right. 2017 prediction, they will be bringing a new nighttime parade to the Magic Kingdom. It will have that technology. It will not be Paint the Night.
That sounds like a prediction we had in previous years.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't go wrong.
Does.
Doing it every year.
You're
eventually
going
to be right.
Eventually you'll be right.
Okay, guys, this is where we're going to stop for this week. We've already put you through an hour, and we're going to continue next week with the 2016 Year in Review. So that's it for this week, guys. This was show 167. For Lisa, Sam, this is Ed. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
So long, everybody.
Kongaloosh.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in